Okay, dear Dhamma friends, we are going to start the Sutta teaching session. So we'll start with paying homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. So in this Sutta teaching session, we are actually trying to discuss various suttas, mostly how to get some advice from Buddha's teaching so that we can practice our own path properly, so that we are not going in astray, we are not going in wrong path. Rather, we are trying to get the correct path, trying to recognize the correct path, and accordingly we can practice well. So far we have discussed several suttas, and now we are discussing Satipatthana Sutta. So Satipatthana Sutta is well recognized as one of the most important suttas, especially for meditation. So with recent interest on mindfulness, so Satipatthana Sutta has become very important and very popular. And now we are trying to go through Satipatthana Sutta one by one, part by part. Basically, Buddha has preached this sutta while he was in one of the country called Kuru. So there's a village called Kammasadhamma in that country. And while he was there, he was teaching this to the monks. And before he is explaining this, he's giving a sort of a very interesting list of benefits he has mentioned. Ekayano ayam bhikkave maggo sattanam visuddhiya. Monks, there is a direct path for the purification of beings. Soka pariddhavanam samatikkamayo. In order to cut through sorrow and lamentation. Dukkha dubanassanam attagamayo. In order to overcome various sorrows and despair and various other suffering. Nyayassa adhigamayo. In order to recognize the proper path. In order to recognize the Noble Eightfold Path, in other sense. Nibbanasa sacchikiriyaya. In order to realize the Nibbana. Yadidan chattaro satipatthana. So this is the direct path, and that is the four foundations of mindfulness. Now, in this phrase, actually, there are very important aspects Buddha has mentioned. So the purification of beings is something that we have to pay little attention, because there were various methods in old India how to purify a being. So they, as Brahmins, they have used many different methods, like having a bath in Ganges river, and maybe putting some fires around the around oneself, and being in the middle, and trying to eliminate various defilements. So likewise, various wrong methods were used in order to purify oneself. So in this context, Buddha is telling there is a direct path to purify one's mind. So it is the purification of the mind which is more important, and by being purified through the mind, that a person, a being, may become a purified person, a noble person. So in order to do that, Buddha is now recommending four foundations of mindfulness. And according to this phrase, if we are practicing it well, so we too should be able to recognize these benefits little by little. It may not be evident in the beginning, and but with continuous practice, we should be able to recognize at least some amount of these benefits. Whether our mind is being purified, are we getting less and less defiled? How about the lustful thoughts arising in the mind? How about the hatred arising in the mind? How about the delusion arising in the mind? Are they going to be reduced? Are they really reducing because of this practice? How about sorrow and lamentation? Are they sort of reducing? Am I become peaceful? Is my become fairly happy? So this kind of benefits actually we can verify by recognizing our own mind, by reflecting about our own mind, so that we too can assure that we are doing the correct thing. And the last one is Nyayasa Adhigamaya and Nibbanasa Satchikiriyaya. Are we still in a position to recognize the proper path, or are we still wavering about various paths? Are we sure about the path or not yet? And have we realized Nibbana? So these are the benefits actually we can verify. They are not here to merely believe, rather we should be able to verify them by applying the same to our own mind. We should be able to verify. And so Buddha starts with kaya anupassana, idha bhikkave bhikkhu kaya kaya anupassi vihirati. So in this dispensation of the Buddha, a monk, a practitioner, is now paying attention to his mind, to his body, and he is now trying to recognize the body. He is now trying to contemplate the body. Kaya kaya anupassi. So there is a very interesting point here. So this is a direct experience, and it is not that one is analyzing the body using through a book, or asking from someone, or watching a sort of an anatomy documentary or something like that. Rather, one has to pay attention to one's own body. So this is quite important, and one needs to have that direct touch, directly experiencing one's body, in order to recognize its behavior. And anupassi means that you have to do it again and again. It is not just once that you do it. Again and again you have to pay attention to the body, and there are various processes and aspects Buddha is now going to mention how to do it, and you have to do it again and again. And while doing that, there is a sort of a state of mind that one needs to maintain. It has to have a quality called atapi. One has to have ardent effort, because at the beginning the practice may be a little difficult, and again the results may not be evident, results may not come on your way quickly, so that one has to have good effort. And then sampajano, one not only being mindful, that is satima, one has to be mindful, one has to leave aside the past and the future and has to concentrate in the present moment. And not only that, once you establish mindfulness in the present moment, you should be investigating the present phenomena. So whatever is subjected to our attention has to be well investigated, well examined. So that is the other quality. And vinayya loke abhijja domanasam, while you are dealing with this task, you should keep, or you should maintain your mind in a equanimous mood, rather than putting it into the two extremes, either being greedy or lustful, or either being hateful. So one has to maintain an equanimous mind. So if one is able to maintain such a equanimous mind, sort of a middle mind, and again maintaining mindfulness, and again clearly knowing, as well as have enough effort to continue the practice. So while maintaining such qualities, one is now observing one's own body again and again. So how to observe one's body? There are many methods mentioned under Kaya Anupassana section. As you can see in the diagram, so basically there are 14 methods coming under the Kaya Anupassana. 14 techniques, we can say, available in Kaya Anupassana. Among them, actually 9 are related to channel ground meditation, where one is looking at corpse and comparing a corpse with one's own body. And the first one actually is related to anapanasati, mindfulness on breathing. The second one is on mindfulness on postures. And then the third one is sampajanyapabba, that is being mindful on various daily activities. Now, in this context, one has to recognize the present moment phenomena. So one has to leave aside past, not thinking about the past and not giving any sort of importance to any memories. And again, not daydreaming, not fantasizing, not thinking about the future, not planning about the future, rather coming back to the present moment again and again. So this is quite important, because in order to recognize the present moment phenomenon, our attention has to be readily available in the present moment. Now, in order to do that, there are many methods available, starting with Anapanasati, where one is using breathing, because breathing happens in the present moment. It's a bodily process, involuntary process, and you are trying to keep your attention on that bodily process. Now, if you are able to do that properly, then your mindfulness is established in the present moment. And suppose there are series of breaths available and you are keeping your attention there, one after the other. And once you are establishing mindfulness to each and every breath, in-breath and out-breath, now one has to clearly know it, clearly recognize its characteristics. Now, if we come to the third one, so we already discussed Anapanasati and the Iriyapatha. Now, today we can discuss how to apply to daily activities and to the whole life, in a way. Now, if we are taking our attention to bodily activities, so there Buddha starts with Abhikkhante Patikkhante Sampajanakari Hoti, where when one is going forward, one being mindful. When coming back, one is mindful. Now, typically we may walk here and there again and again during a day, but we are not paying attention to that walking posture. Rather, we may be thinking, we may be planning while walking. So mind is not well synchronized with the bodily activity. But here, what is expected is to properly synchronize the mental process and the bodily process, the physical process. Now, this is actually a repetition of Iriyapathapabba to some extent, because in Iriyapathapabba, where the main postures are introduced, walking, sitting, standing, and lying down, and again, there's a statement called Yatha yathava panasya kayo panihito hoti tatatatanam pajanati. That includes all the sub-postures as well. Now, we can say the Sampajanya Pabba is in a way a more enhanced version of Iriyapatha Pabba, where one is trying to incorporate mindfulness to various daily activities. Now, it is not possible for us to invest time continuously for a sitting session or a walking meditation session, but rather now we should be able to incorporate mindfulness to various daily activities which we are already continuing in our life. Now, this is how we have to be skillful, how to introduce mindfulness to daily activities. Then we can't say that we don't have time, I am really busy, and these excuses are not valid, because we are involving with various activities, and we should be skillful to incorporate or introduce mindfulness to those daily activities. It is not that we are completely neglecting those activities and only giving prominence to meditation. Rather, we are now trying to incorporate mindfulness to our ordinary daily activities. Now, going forward is a very ordinary daily activity that we may do many, many times. And are we able to introduce mindfulness to that? While walking, can we establish mindfulness? And while coming back, can we establish mindfulness? So this is, in a way, again and again, bringing our attention to the body without allowing the mind to daydream or going for various planning. Are we sort of able to bring our attention to the present activity? And then Buddha say, Alokite vilokite sampajanakari hoti. When one looks forward, when one is seeing something in the front, one has to be mindful. And when one looks around, one has to be mindful. Then, samminjite pasarite sampajanakari hoti. That means, when one is bending one's limbs, maybe hands, maybe legs, when one is bending, so one has to be mindful. And again, when one is stretching, again has to be mindful. So you can see how carefully Buddha is taking our attention to very subtle activities of the body. Typically, we ignore these activities. These activities are happening in a sort of autopilot mode. So we are never giving attention to these activities. Rather, we think that various other important activities are there. We have to pay attention to those activities. And this kind of walking, sitting, standing, lying down, stretching limbs, bending limbs, and such activities we never consider as important. Now, we have to do in a way sort of opposite. It is not that we are neglecting other activities, rather we are slowly trying to bring our attention to typical, very ordinary bodily activities. And as a result, we may actually be able to do various other what we thought the important activities also mindfully. Say, for example, you have to write a letter. So we assume that you consider that is quite important than paying attention to stretching limbs, say bending limbs, or walking front, walking side. So likewise, so those are very ordinary, so you simply neglected them. You consider writing a letter is important, so you may pay more attention to that. Actually, by paying attention to ordinary activities, be mindful about those, actually bring enough attention to that important activity, in this case, the writing of a letter. So it is a sort of a win-win situation where, first of all, you are trying to recognize some ordinary activities and introduce mindfulness there. As a result, that developed mindfulness is even useful into other, what we can say as serious activities. So those serious important activities also we can do in a mindful way. And then Buddha say, Sanghati patta chivara dharane pampajanakari hoti. So this is related to a monk, where a monk has a double robe and single robe. So while he is wearing robe, adorning robe, so one has to be mindful. And when he is carrying the ball, he is mindful. Now, when coming to the lay context, say while you are wearing clothes, so you can be mindful. So typically we don't consider that as a sort of an important task or something that we can pay attention. Rather, now it is requested to pay attention to that ordinary activity as well. Asite, pite, khaite, saite, sampajanakari hoti. So when you are having your meals, when you are drinking something, when you are, say, using the mouth, suppose you are breaking a piece of, say, food. And then when you are tasting something, again, one has to be mindful. So these are sort of different aspects of eating and drinking. So there are many such activities also one has to do mindfully. Ucchara passava kamme sampajanakari hoti. Say when one is defecating, urinating, that too has to be done in a mindful manner. Gate, tite, nisinne, sutte, jagarate, bhasite, tunhi, bhave, sampajanakari hoti. So when one is walking, when standing, when sitting, and when lying down and sleeping, and when one is not sleeping, when one is talking in a conversation, and when one is silent, that too has to be mindful. Now you can see Buddha hasn't exempted any activity. Rather, he is sort of giving us a list of activities so that we can understand every activity we can do mindfully. Now, on the other hand, we have to keep in mind about the context where to all these activities, to all these anupassana, Buddha says, Atapi sampajano satima. That is, and vinaya loke abhijja domanasa. Atapi in the sense that one has to maintain a fair amount of effort. Now, repeatedly, we may forget to be mindful. That is one problem we all may have at the beginning, where even though we may understand being mindful is important, we continuously forget it. So there are various ways and means we need to incorporate in order to remind the mind, remind ourselves to be mindful. Actually, I can remember when I was practicing in my early stages, where I continuously forget to be mindful. So what I did was I pasted a little label on the door, be mindful. And on my table, there's a little label, be mindful. And I had a watch, which I sometimes mostly look at in order to read the time. And there also I have pasted the label, be mindful. So likewise, there are these kind of little say methods or strategies we can use to remind ourselves to be mindful. Otherwise, we, even though we know it is important, we continuously forget it. Our mind continuously go to the past and enjoy whatever the things happened in the past, or may shift it to the future and enjoy whatever the plans. So we, it's a kind of a habit. But now we have to sort of escape from that habit, and in order to do that, we can use various ways and means, and in order to remind the mind, so that again and again we establish mindfulness. Again and again we are earthing ourselves. Now you can recognize here also there are many various activities are listed, and if we are able to maintain continuous mindfulness, then you will recognize there are so many activities from the waking up moment to the sleeping moment that we are engaged with. One activity after the other activity. One activity after the other activity. Say for example, you are waking up. Now you are lifting yourself from the bed. So that activity has finished. Now you are standing. So that activity has finished. Now the previous activity has completed. And the new activity, standing activity, has started. And now you walking to the, say, bathroom, restroom. And there, suppose now the standing activity finished and the walking activity started. And now you are going to the restroom. Suppose you are washing your face. And you are, while walking, that standing activity finished and walking activity has begun. And while you are being in the restroom or the washroom, say your walking activity has finished, now you are washing yourself. Suppose you are brushing your teeth. So the brushing of teeth activity has begun, and after a while it also has finished. Now you are washing your face. So the washing face activity has begun. So likewise, you can recognize it's a series of activities starting and ending. Series of activities starting and ending. Now, this is one way we can recognize to some extent that all these activities has a beginning and end. Now, if you further scrutinize this process, then you are able to clearly know that each activity also has sub-activities. Say, for example, eating. There you can understand, okay, eating has many small activities. Say you are preparing yourself, you are being served by various, say, vegetables, curries, rice, and whatever it is. And then suppose you are mixing it and you can feel various texture of maybe vegetables or curries or rice, and those are also different. And again you are mixing, and then you are making a lump, and then you are bringing it to the mouth, and then you are chewing, and you may taste it, and again you are swallowing, and again you are putting your hand to the plate, again you are taking little by little, and again you are mixing. So likewise, if you closely analyze, there are many small activities are involved with so-called eating activity. Similarly, walking. So walking is quite easy to recognize, because walking is separately taken as walking meditation, where at the first instance, we can say only walking. But walking has many small activities included or involved, where, say, you stand at the end, and then say you are watching in the front, you are keeping your hands bound, and now you are lifting left leg and moving it and placing it. Then again, you are lifting the right leg, moving it, placing it, and your weight being transferred from one leg to the other leg. And if you further closely observe, you can recognize there are so many minor activities, like during even a single lifting, there are a series of liftings. While moving, there's a series of movings. While placing, there's a series of moving, placing. And while the left, while the sole is on the ground, again, you can feel many characteristics like hardness, softness, roughness, smoothness, coolness. Likewise, there are very small characteristics or refined characteristics, subtle characteristics are also available. Now, more and more we pay close attention as our clear comprehension, sampajanya, improves, we can recognize all these minor activities. And each minor activity also has a beginning and an end. A beginning and an end. So therefore, in this section also, Buddha emphasized that there one has to be samudaya dhamma anupassīva kāyasmin viharati. Vaya dhamma anupassīva kāyasmin viharati. One is recognizing the beginning of this activity and then the ending of the activity. At the beginning, actually, we have all these labels. Say, you are eating, drinking, walking, standing, lying down, say, brushing the teeth. So likewise, you know in the macro level that you know that there's a activity going on, and you know the name, you know the label. But later, as you drill down further to the detail of it, so you may lose that context, you may lose that labels given, and you are fairly closely paying attention to the minor aspects, minor characteristics. There you lose the concepts. There you lose the typical conventional aspects, and you are more and more paying attention to the very refined characteristics. That is where the element characteristics are possible. There you can understand, even though we start with postures, or even though we start with daily activities in a more ordinary, mundane or conventional manner, as we further refine our attention, so we can actually go to the very root level. We can go to the very primary level, fundamental level, where our mind becomes extremely subtle, very refined and well concentrated, and all the conceptual information or signs, marks are lost, but mind is fairly concentrated on a very refined characteristic. That is, maybe we can say, as element characteristics. So you may have now ended up in Dhatu Manasikara. You have started with typical postures, or you may have started with daily activities, but as you refine your mindfulness, you can now even drill down to the level of elements. So likewise, these Satipatthana techniques are fairly interrelated. So one can start with very ordinary activity, and you can go to the very refined activity, very refined characteristics. And all levels, anyway, you can recognize there's a beginning and there's an end. Samudaya dhamma anupassīva kāyasmin viharati, vaya dhamma anupassīva kāyasmin viharati. Samudaya vaya dhamma anupassīva kāyasmin viharati. And more you look at these processes available within yourself, and you can apply the same knowledge to external people as well. There also you can understand the same thing is available. It is not different. Even though you call as I am walking, I am standing, I am having my meals, rather when you keep aside that I part, nothing but a series of activities, series of element characteristics. Same is available outside as well. When another person is involving in those activities, same thing happens. He do start one activity and then finish it. Then another activity starts and another that activity also finish. So likewise, he too engage with so many activities. Each one has a beginning and an end. Now, if one is doing this more and more, then Buddha says there are various insights possible. Actually, now we have just finished the meditation part where Satipatthana Bhavana. First of all, you need to establish mindfulness on daily activities. And once that is successful, you need to go deeper and recognize details and to recognize the behavior of each activity. There you are trying to engage with Satipatthana meditation, mindfulness meditation, where you are trying to develop mindfulness by recognizing various paces or various behaviors of each activity. And while you are doing that, it is important to keep the mind very quiet. It is not that you are sort of thinking about any of these, rather you are being aware of all these activities. So at the beginning, you may actually use the mind in order to remember yourself or to remind yourself that you are doing a particular activity. Say, for example, while eating, if your mind is constantly distracted, you can incorporate labeling. You can incorporate noting. Say, for example, you are mixing. You are taking several vegetables and you are having rice and curries and you are now mixing. So while the body is involving in that activity, mentally you can verbalize it, telling mixing, mixing. And when you are bring that lump of food to the mouth, say you can verbalize it as say taking, taking or lifting, lifting. And while when you are putting it to the mouth, you can now sort of verbalize it, note it as eating, eating, or maybe tasting, tasting, chewing, chewing, swallowing, swallowing. So likewise, if necessary, you can note it everywhere, each activity you can note. But later, when you are successful, when you understand now mind is fairly tamed, mind is not distracted to the past or future, then actually you better stop that noting, rather maintain a quiet mind, silent mind, but very vigilant, observing each and every minor activity, minor aspect of each process with a very quiet, silent mind. So then only you have a fair chance of arising insights. So when you do this process while being mindful, there are various insights are possible, and Buddha says attikayotiva panassa satipacchupattita hoti. So previously you thought that I am eating, I am drinking, I am walking, I am driving. So likewise, there is a individuality. But later, as your understanding refines, as your understanding grows, so this typical personality view may reduce, individual view may reduce, and you may understand it's nothing but a body engaged with so many activities, so many little changes. Attikayotiva panassa sati pachupattita hoti. So now the mindfulness is established very well on the body, and now less distractions. Even if the mind shift to past or future, it does not engage in so much of proliferation, rather it returns back quickly. So mind now likes to be within the body. So this is a very important shift happens in our meditation life, because in the beginning it's a utter like a disaster where we can never take our attention to the body. So it is not interesting. It appears like utterly boring. But when you are training again and again, without giving up, again and again you are training the mind, so there is a time that mind likes to stay within the body. Mind does not go out, rather it likes to stay within the body. So there you have a lot of comfort, because now less task for you to do, because mind is fairly tamed, fairly restrained, and now mind itself is staying within the body. Now it's a matter of refining your attention and paying close attention and trying to improve clear comprehension, sampajanya, and it is a sort of a improved thing, or it's a, now the mindfulness has fairly improved. Now it's a matter of improving, further improving clear comprehension. Now, on that context, more and more characteristics are available, characteristics are visible, and you are closely observing all these. And then Buddha says, Yavadeva jnana mattaya patissati mattaya. Now you are further improving mindfulness, and your goal is to maintain a continuous mindfulness as much as possible. And using which you are now trying to sort of develop wisdom. Now this wisdom actually time to time arise as insights. It is not that you can arouse insights, but rather you are preparing the ground, or you are maintaining a conducive environment so that various insights are arising. As I said, you are doing the close observation, maintaining a very silent mind, equanimous mind, quiet mind, and not giving to lust or hatred, and you are clearly knowing. So these are the sort of requirement, prerequisites necessary to arise an insight. So in that context, there's a possibility that various insights are possible. When you are seeing that how quickly these phenomena are arising and passing away, that's an insight possible. So again and again, when you are seeing it, there's a deeper understanding is developing within yourself, very much like, say, how impermanent all these, how transient all these processes, how transient this body is. It is not a fixed thing. It is not a one thing, but it's a consisting of so many processes, so many activities. It's like a huge factory. So many little activities are involved with, and one after the other, rising and passing away. One after the other, starting and ending. Now, if one is continuously doing this, then one's mind may fairly disenchanted with this whole body. So if there was a big attachment to the body, if there was sort of a conceit related to the body, thinking that I am beautiful, I am powerful, and etc. So that wrong ideas, those illusions will be removed, and you are now fairly grounded, and you may understand this whole thing is utterly transient, extremely vulnerable, extremely impermanent. As a result, sort of a disenchantment may arise in the mind. So you now observe the body in a more neutral way, and there's a sort of a disengagement will happen from the body and the mind. Now previously, during that close examination, your mind is closely observing the body, closely investigating the body, little activities. But as your disenchantment grows, then there's a dispassion also growing. As a result, you are now able to look at the body as a third person, as an outsider. So various bodily processes are happening, but you are disengaged from those bodily processes and able to look at them in a more dispassionate manner. So it's like someone else is walking, you are watching. Someone else is eating, you are watching. Someone else is breathing, you are watching. Something like that. So the same thing going on, it is your body involved with various activities, but you have the ability to look at it as an outsider. Now this further improves, and in one point, if the mind is completely given up, then the mind become completely independent. Anisthitocha viharati. So mind can become completely independent from this whole process. Now mind has completely given up, and mind has become empty of any activity, of any object. So it has nothing to attach with. It has completely given up everything, because it understood that nothing is worthy of attaching. Nothing is worthy of clinging, grasping. So it has completely given up. So it can happen instantaneously, and the yogi may not recognize it immediately because it is instantaneous. But again and again when he is practicing, so this experience may become longer. Say now he can experience this independence for 1 minute. So this experience one can maintain for 2 minutes. 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So likewise, so the mind become independent, not attached to anything, not holding, grasping anything, and it is free. So this freedom may be available for 15 minutes. So this is a kind of a domain change happen within your mind. So it's a very, I mean, you may distinctly recognize it, vividly recognize that there's a big shift has happened within the mind. So the walking happens, but mind is not closely attached to anything, closely observing even that, but mind likes to stay independent, sort of in a seclusion. And the eating, drinking, walking, brushing teeth, all these activities are happening. If necessary, you can actually observe them closely, but mind is not that interested. And if you start to observe closely, it appear like little tiresome. And mind likes to stay independent. Mind likes to maintain freedom, not attached to anything. Now, this is where you may recognize that there are such possibilities available, such an island is available within yourself. So this island is free from defilements. This island is free from stress. This island is free from any kind of an attachment. And it is fairly cool. And free from any grasping. So you feel peace. So this peaceful island, this mindfulness, this awareness, you may recognize. But unfortunately, you may understand, so still there are so many defilements again and again popping up and disturbing you. Now you need to have a proper path to maintain or to practice so that the mind become completely free, mind become completely pure, so that you may possess this peace, you may have this peace continuously. So that is where the Noble Eightfold Path come into the picture, where you need fair amount of morality to maintain. You need fair amount of concentration so that your mind is properly visible. It is apparent that you can recognize immediately whenever a defilement arises, so that kind of clarity of mind is available. So in order to have that, you need time to time empower yourself, empower the mind with a necessary amount of concentration. And while such clarity of mind is available, you are able to look at yourself. You are able to understand how foolishly you are going and again attaching with something. How again habitually you go and entangle with many things. How unnecessarily you are putting your hand. So many shortcomings of ourselves are able to recognize. In order to do that, you have to be fairly honest and well-grounded. And now you are honestly recognizing those defilements, honestly recognizing those, say, shortcomings available within ourselves. And once we are recognizing, so that indicates that we are not approving it. We are not empowering it. We are not getting feeding it. Rather, we recognize it and leave it aside. Let it go. We recognize that shortcoming, understood it, and not empowering it, not feeding it, not getting caught to it, but leaving it aside. So likewise, you are able to slowly decrease those habits, decrease those latent tendencies. So likewise, you may sort of start living a life fairly engage with proper morality, sila, and again maintaining fair amount of clarity, that is the concentration, samadhi, and more recognizing the recognizing various defilements, shortcomings, entanglements happening in the mind because of the past habits, and now trying to slowly correcting yourself, correcting your mind or purifying the mind so that you may have long-term peace, long-term disenchantment or long-term clarity of mind, freedom of mind is available. So there are the Noble Eightfold Path one has to live. So with that, actually I can conclude today's Sutta teaching. So today actually we have covered the Sampajanya Pabba, where we started with typical mundane activities and then slowly went to the depth, understanding subtle aspects of each activity, and then recognize beginning and ending or starting and ending of those subtle activities. And then while maintaining such clarity, you are able to experience various insights, and that ultimately lead to the following of Noble Eightfold Path. So with that, I conclude today's Sutta teaching.